This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. The International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, has welcomed as a positive sign the approval given by Syria's government for the delivery of humanitarian aid to at least 11 besieged areas in the nation. The Damascus government has asked the United Nations and the Red Cross to send in the aid convoys. Krista Armstrong is an ICRC spokesperson for the Middle East, and she spoke to me about the Red Cross's reaction to this approval.
Well, I think for humanitarian agencies like the ICRC, it's positive. It's always important to get access to areas which are difficult to reach and besieged areas. And it's important that we're able to go on the ground and deliver assistance and respond to the needs of people there impartially. So it's a good sign that there will be such access. And I think it's also important to say that this year our access in general has improved. Last year we were able to carry out 7 cross-line operations to areas which had been besieged or were harder to reach. And this year already now we've done about 16. So it is a positive sign, and we hope we are able to carry out some aid convoys and assess needs, not just once, but that we get repeated access and that this continues.
Is it fair to say that these humanitarian convoys, however welcome and necessary they are, sometimes may be only a drop in the ocean compared to the actual needs of the besieged population, many of whom have been under siege for so long?
Absolutely, it's fair to say. I mean, aid is not going to resolve this humanitarian crisis. It's beyond that. It obviously needs a political resolution and as soon as possible, but humanitarian aid will try and respond as best it can, but it won't be able to, as you say. Like, if areas have been under siege for many years, there are huge needs, and that's why it's important not just to bring food in or medicines in as a one-off. It has to be that we are able to return, bring in other supplies, help populations locally, help the medical staff and centers, some of them that have been operating with expired medicines for a number of years that don't have the provisions to cater to the civilians in the area. But as you say, it's not going to be sufficient to meet many of the needs on the ground. We're trying this year. So far, between January and March, we were able to reach 2.6 million people with food assistance. But when you look at the overall needs and the longer term needs, it remains just something just to cover short term needs and not the longer term.
The US, France and the UK have all urged the UN to begin airdrops of humanitarian aid to these besieged areas in Syria. Do you support that call, even though it's not perhaps such an efficient way of getting aid in?
Airdrops per se, they might be appropriate in certain circumstances, but they are very difficult and they are very challenging, not just because they're expensive, but they can be dangerous in certain areas. And when you're looking at places like Syria, where a lot of these areas are very populated, urban, built-up areas, it's going to be much more challenging and difficult to carry out, to ensure there's a large enough drop zone that's cordoned off to receive that aid. I think also, crucially, in accessing people directly and being able to see what they need, hear from them, ensure that we reach groups that are the elderly, that are more vulnerable, that are more, not as able to go and get their resources themselves, and assessing more specific needs, for instance, of the disabled and others, is very important. And that's also why humanitarian agencies, we don't want to lose sight that we want to get ground access. So if airdrops are carried out to besieged areas, it has to be really a last resort and a short-term solution. Another perhaps issue, apart from the safety and logistics, is you've got to make sure that professional teams on the ground, because if you're doing it remotely from the air, you need to ensure there's coordination on the ground to ensure a distribution according to needs and orderly, that it doesn't just become a free-for-all. So that's also very important, and the challenge of doing it from the air.
I also spoke earlier to Jan-Jaap van Oosterzee, an expert on Middle East affairs for Pax Christi International, the global Catholic peace network.
We think this is a very important call. We do realize that airdrops are a rather inefficient way of bringing humanitarian aid to besieged areas. But at the moment, there seems to be no other way to reach these areas. And we have seen that recent airdrops in Deir ez-Zor in the northeast of Syria, which is partially besieged by ISIS, have been relatively effective. So airdrops could make a difference, but it will not be the end of siege. We do want to stress also that we do research on the besieged areas in Syria, and we reached the conclusion that there are actually far more people living under siege than the UN is recognizing.
So how many people, according to your studies, are believed to be living under siege in Syria?
Over a million. That there are areas which the UN is labeling as hard to reach, but that in fact have not been reached by any humanitarian convoys in the last months or even the last years.
Many human rights activists and other observers say that often these sieges serve no military goal, but are rather collective punishment of the population under siege. Do you agree with that? Is that applicable to all sieges or most of them?
That is, to our understanding, applicable for all sieges, yes. It's clear that it doesn't serve military purposes. That, in fact, in some situations, the armed groups might actually benefit from it because they are in control of the smuggling routes. So it really is a way to punish communities.
And that was the voice of Van Jaap van Oosterzee, an expert on Middle East affairs for Pax Christi International. And earlier you heard the voice of Krista Armstrong, a spokesperson for the Middle East for the International Committee of the Red Cross.